Rā, ora.
So, haere, okiatsu rā, e te tungāne, our rambling, shambling man. Thank you for so much that you gave to all of us. You will be remembered.
Education Minister Hekia Parata in an extraordinary debate on Tuesday, mourning the death of the Labour MP for Ekarawa Rawiti, Parakura Horomia. In the first debate of its kind since 1987, MPs around the chamber farewell their colleague and former cabinet minister for just under 3 hours of stories, laughter, tears and song.
Ko te uranga o te rā, te reinga waka tō ranga pū, he wai hoi tuku iho.
Shane Jones, who composed and sang that waiata for his best friend in politics, was joined by people in the packed public galleries as the House adjourned for the day at 4:45. The next day, the large portrait of Parakura Horomia that was in his seat during the debate was gone, and there was this announcement from the Speaker, David Carter.
Honourable members, I wish to advise the House that following the death of the Honourable Parakura Horomia, I have given notice that the seat of Ekarawa Rawhiti is vacant.
A by-election to fill that vacancy on Saturday, June the 29th, was announced by the Prime Minister from the Beehive, while next door his Leader of the House was making up for time lost to that debate the previous day.
Honourable Jerry Brownlee.
Mr Speaker, I move that urgency be accorded the introduction and first reading of the Government Communications Security Bureau and related legislation amendment bill and its referral to a committee.
So beginning just before four, after question time and the general debate on Wednesday, MPs spent the next 14 hours under urgency, adjourning at 8:30 on Thursday night. With the three-hour debate on Tuesday, they spent 17 hours in the chamber, exactly the same as in a normal sitting week. And the opposition still got to hold ministers to account, thanks to this announcement from Mr Brownlee's deputy, Anne Tolley, just after the House resumed at 9 on Thursday morning.
Mr Speaker, I seek leave for there to be a question time at 2 p.m. on Thursday the 9th of May.
And of the seven bills in the urgency motion, only one was to be passed through all its stages without reference to a select committee for public submissions, for reasons explained by Mr Brownlee.
The introduction and passing of the Public Trust Amendment Bill is necessary for the House to take a position ahead of the High Court deciding some matters in the capital and merchant finance case, effectively ensuring that it's not the public trust that becomes the default trustee in circumstances of finance company failures. And once again, sir, we've seen some pretty awful stuff in that regard in recent times.
Three of the other bills had already been to a select committee, and the GCSB bill was to go to the Prime Minister's Security and Intelligence Committee after its first reading.
The first reading of the Government Communications Security Bureau and related legislation clears up a number of matters that were brought to light in the recent inquiry so that the operations of our security services can be carried out in a fully lawful way.
Greens co-leader Russell Norman saw the bill in an entirely different light.
This bill gives the Prime Minister and the GCSB greater powers to break into our houses, to put bugs into our houses. It gives them greater power to listen to our phone calls without a warrant. It gives them greater power to look at our emails without a warrant. They don't need a warrant. It gives them greater power to monitor every activity that we do every second of every day.
The Greens co-leader was joined by Labour and all other parties except National, ACT and United Future in voting against giving the GCS bill a first reading. The opposition total down by 1 to 59 and defeated by the government on 61. Russell Norman also clashed with Finance Minister Bill English, buoyed up by the sale of shares in Mighty River Power and the failure of the Greens' anti-asset sales petition to attract enough signatures to trigger a citizens-initiated referendum. After this question from the Greens co-leader on Thursday.
Does he think that the less than 3% of Kiwis who bought shares in this company are a representative slice of middle New Zealand?
Mr Speaker.
Honourable Bill English.
Mr Speaker, no, they probably aren't. But that member did his best to make sure
that people with $2,000 to spend on this didn't do so by scaring him with his stupid nationalisation policy.
Mr. English will be back with the budget next week on Thursday. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.